go out to all the ships at sea.
And however you're listening to The Boo, thank you. We are KBOO Portland. Coming up in 15 minutes, join us for Flashpoints. Today, a report from the tense situation in Oaxaca, the Election Crimes Bulletin with Greg Palast, and legal scholar Marjorie Cohn on proposed U.S. airstrikes on Syrian troops. At 11 on Between the Covers, host Bethany Grabo talks with Laura O. Foster, author of the new book Walking with Ramona, exploring Beverly Cleary's Portland. And at 11:30 on The Film Show, Ibrahim Mubarak talks about the upcoming documentary screening of Right to Survive, Breaking the Chains. And comedy writer and author Steve Young explains exactly what an industrial musical is. That's all coming up right after Air Cascadia, which is up next with Chris Andre. Stick around. Hey, thanks KBOO members for your generous support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to be a founding sponsor of the Waterfront Blues Festival, the hallmark event for the Oregon Food Bank. Once again, with our partners at Oregon Community Media, KBOO will be broadcasting the four-day festival in the Portland metro area, across the state from Astoria to Ashland, and from Andrews to Antelope, and around the world at kboo.fm. Remember to support your local food bank as you tune in to your community radio station, KBOO Portland, to enjoy the 29th annual Waterfront Blues Festival.
Cascadia. Today is Thursday, June 23rd, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real radio for real people at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. And by the way, do have a look at the KBOO website. You will not recognize it, and I mean that in a good way, a very good way. It is the website has been transformed, and it is really not only easy to work with, it's fun. So that said, let's move on. A little bit of weather around Cascadia, in case you haven't noticed, it's bucketing down this morning. If you drove I-84, it's really bucketing down, and today's showers, of course, and a high around 65, winds 7 to 30, gusting up to 21. And tonight, more showers continuing. And listen for thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, lows around 55, 5 to 13 mile an hour winds. And again, gusting up into the 20s for tomorrow. The chance of showers lessens. And if we get any rain at all, it should be in the morning, clearing later in the day, highs eventually around 69 and winds 5 to 8. For Friday night, partially overcast skies and a low around 55. We have a wonderful guest today. Jerry Keir is the director of the Great Basin Institute, is joining us. In case anybody was wondering about the fallout from the Bundy standoff, here's a man who can speak to the issue, because the Great Basin Institute had been undertaking research and in the area of Gold Butte, where the standoff took place. Gold Butte also is where an unmarked shallow grave was discovered just after the standoff. Everyone rushed to explain that. The grave apparently was at the top of Gold Butte on public land. However, it was surrounded by Bundy land, and in order to get to it, one needed to secure permission from the Bundy family. Securing pretty much anything from the Bundy family has proved difficult, if not impossible. So the grave, of course, was not easily discovered. That said, we do have a few headlines just to take note of. Of course, the Democrats finally actually stood up on their hind legs and did something the other day. It was rather like what happens on a regular basis in British Parliament. But they did, and although it did get lots of press, to no avail as far as what the intended purpose was. And that said, though, we will get to that a little bit later, the ongoing discussion and debate about oil trains. What I am astonished to hear is no one in mainstream media, if you can grit your teeth and browse through, no one has mentioned the abysmal safety record of Union Pacific. And moreover, no one has mentioned the fact that the reason for that abysmal record is that whistleblowers who might otherwise step forward and point out what some of the problems were and what some of the likely developments would be, have been silenced by fear of retaliation from Union Pacific. That has not been mentioned. That should be mentioned. There's a lot that could be done. We don't need more laws regarding that. All we need to do is to make sure that whistleblowers are treated with the respect that they deserve and that they are listened to, and that steps are taken to address safety problems on train tracks, especially trains, especially carrying something as volatile as Bakken oil. It's so absurd to pretend that this is not an issue. Well, we are very fortunate now. We are welcoming Jerry Keir, the executive director of the Great Basin Institute, joining us today to talk more about Gold Butte, the research going on, and the interruptions that the Bundy standoff caused. Good morning, Jerry. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
So, what was the institute doing when the Bundy standoff occurred?
We provide support services to the federal government and specifically U.S. Fish and Wildlife, as well as the Bureau of Land Management, and we monitor for rangeland conditions as well as desert tortoise. So Gold Butte has been an area where there's been incidents where the federal government has asked us to not provide monitoring due to the threat of perhaps conflict.
You might find something
we might find something other than tortoise. Right now we're about there's meetings being held to resume monitoring for tortoise in Gold Butte, which is very exciting to us, because monitoring for the species is range wide, so to have a gap in data sets to identify species range and population densities can be disrupted with areas that go unmonitored for periods of time.
And I understand, too, that the Bundy cattle were pretty much left to their own devices. The Bundys did little or nothing as far as caring for them. So they trampled, they destroyed this extremely... I understand also that the Gold Butte region is an area of critical environmental concern, and that's in caps. Vehicles are limited, and would not be surprised to see Bundys roaring across the range on ATVs. But that said, so what you're doing is important, very important, and the standoff disrupted this work. I understand too that support the federal government's efforts, but they do very little to support your efforts. So what did you find after this standoff, now that the no pun intended, dust is cleared? What condition did you find that rangeland in?
Well, we're now only beginning to resume transects in the area. What is of note is that there are discussions to establish Gold Butte as a national monument through the BLM. So one exciting development is an atmosphere of possibility at the federal level to not only monitor the area but protect it permanently under the status of national conservation land systems, which is a unique designation within the Bureau that functions separately than their multiple use mandate, insofar as a monument provides unique protections that change the oversight and form of land use. While I can't report on specific conditions being reported as of yet, we do anticipate having greater data with respect to species and overall rangeland conditions.
And as the Bundys, of course, key players as this whole story unfolds. Have you heard anything from the family regarding the new potential designation?
No.
What have you heard from them?
I've never had a direct... I've had no direct contact with the family. Last summer, we were... a team of techs were camping and shots were fired nearby, and we were forced to be removed from that area. It wasn't Gold Butte, but it was picked up nationally and made the New York Times because there's such extreme interest in the jurisdictional complications that we see not only in Nevada, but you've seen in Oregon, and we see it in Utah as well, where states or even counties are questioning the federal government's role in managing public land.
Yeah, shots fired, of course, is making it dangerous, obviously, for anyone there working in the interest of preserving land. I understand also on that that note, reminds me, too, that on the top of Gold Butte, something was found, and it wasn't a tortoise. Apparently, there was a grave up there, and that, as far as I know, has been unexplained. Have you heard anything of that, or what that story entails?
A grave site has been uncovered. That I do not know, but it's not uncommon for our archaeologists or biologists to come across human remains near Las Vegas with its rich history and the mafia and whatnot.
So it's all scattered all over the place.
the probability of finding the human remains in the Mojave Desert is quite high within a 100-mile radius of Las Vegas.
You know, now that I think about it, that was a silly question. Of course, they're all over the place.
They're all over the place, and I always find it of interest when we do find them. It's biology and archaeology can be a little more colorful than one would imagine.
It's all murder, one way or another, I suppose. But the fact is
the ability to work in the Gold Butte area also allows us to do restoration work as well. You've got the Virgin River and the Muddy River that run nearby, and with cattle being removed off of federal lands, we can now begin to revegetate highly eroded and critical riparian corridors that have been arrested by the conflict.
Yeah, thank you so much for that, Joe. We're fresh out of time, and I'd like to hear more as you people from Great Basin Institute get in there and have a look at what's happened. Again, thank you so much for being with us today. My guest has been Joe Kiersey, Executive Director of the Great Basin Institute. This has been Air Cascadia for Thursday, June 23rd, 2016. Engineering for us today, Rock Bergeron. Thanks, Rock. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.